Good evening, everyone. I've got to say that name about 20 times in this sermon, so bear with me. I've had plenty of practice. I hope I get it right, but if not, just excuse me. It's such a privilege to be able to come and just share the gospel with you and share God's word with you. And most people who know me know that I am really passionate about the Bible and about God's word. And I'm even more passionate when I read the Old Testament and I see Jesus in the Old Testament. And this passage really is a representation of us and Jesus. And so what I want to do is I want to unpack the scripture and then move along. So we've just read in the passage that about David. So David is now officially king, and Saul's dead, and David is no longer having to flee for his life. In the previous chapter, in chapter 8, David had conquered the surrounded nations, and his enemies, God had defeated his enemies for him. And I believe that as David was reflecting on the blessings that God had done for him in those previous battles, I believe that as David was reflecting about what God had done for him in the previous chapter, he was overcome with kindness and he wanted to share a blessing to somebody else like God had blessed him. And I believe that as David was reflecting, he remembered that he had a best friend, Jonathan, and he'd made an oath with Jonathan. And Jonathan was David's best friend, and he was Saul, the previous son, king's son. And Saul was trying to kill David, and Jonathan had risked his own life to protect David. And we can read about that in 1 Samuel, it's chapter 20, 12 to 15. And it says, "Then Jonathan told David, 'I promise by the Lord, the God of Israel, that by this time tomorrow or the next day at the latest, I will talk to my father and let you know at once how he feels about you. If he speaks favorably about you, I will let you know. But if he is angry and wants you killed, may the Lord strike me and even kill me if I don't warn you so you can escape and live. May the Lord be with you as he used to be with my father, and may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies from the face of the earth.'" It was this promise that David had made with Jonathan that made him inquire if there was anybody that was still left from the house of Saul. And upon his inquiries, he finds out that there is a young man called Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son, and he's still alive. So David summons a man called Ziba, who was Saul's servant, and David asks if Ziba would go and get Mephibosheth and tell him that David wanted to see him. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, I wonder how Mephibosheth must have felt when Ziba came to his house and said to him, "The King David wants to see you." I wonder how that he must have felt, because let's put this in context. Mephibosheth was born to be a king, okay? He was Saul's grandson, he was Jonathan's firstborn, he was heir to the throne, and all of that at the age of 5 was taken away from him. He was destined for greatness. He was destined to be a man of great social standing. But at 5 years old, his grandfather and his father were killed in battle, and his place, David took his rightful place as king, and so Mephibosheth lost his inheritance as king. So during this time, it was not uncommon. So when one king took over from another king, the new king would kill off the entire family of the former king, so that would ensure that nobody from that family would come and try and take that power back. And I told you I would do it. I told you. And so Mephibosheth's nurse, knowing that Mephibosheth's life was in danger at 5 years old, wanted to take him to a place of safety. But in her haste, she dropped Mephibosheth on the floor and both his legs were crippled and he became disabled. So his life was changed forever that day. Not only would he not be king, but he would not be able to take care of himself. He would have to be relying on other people. And I just wondered how he must have felt when David was coming looking for him. He must have felt fearful. There must have been something in him that thought, what does David want with me? You know, I've been in hiding from this man just in case he finds out about me. And here he is knocking on my door. What does this man want from me? When David went to go and get Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth lived in a place called Lodabar. And Lodabar roughly translates no pasture or no word. And in that time, it was a derogatory term it was like a place of no enlightenment, stupidity. I can imagine that this place was a place of hopelessness where people that didn't really do well or didn't have much probably lived in this place. And I think that that is like a hypothetical name that kind of describes Mephibosheth's situation. I believe that he was in a hopeless place. And we see in the scripture that Mephibosheth describes himself as a dead dog. And so he'd probably lived an isolated life, and he was living in poverty, he was living in hiding from the king, and all of these things had made him believe that he was worthless. Can you just imagine, like, he was destined to be a king, but he was living as a pauper. And how many of us here, if we're honest, can identify with Mephibosheth's situation? Maybe at times in your life you've felt worthless, hopeless, or you've been in a place of despair yourself. Maybe you had a bright future, maybe you had plans, and maybe something happened that took that away. Maybe something happened in your career, maybe your health, maybe your finances, you know, whatever it is. But I think we can all identify at some point with Mephibosheth that sometime in our life, things have happened and the path that we thought was going to be ours has been taken away from us. It could be things that you've experienced. It could be feelings that you feel, maybe that have made you feel like you're not good enough. But whatever it is, we can see that there's good news. There's hope for us in the way that David treated Mephibosheth. David was a man after God's own heart. And you can really see that in his treatment to Mephibosheth. When Mephibosheth is before David, he's fearful, quite rightly, because he doesn't know why is this. David could kill him because that was the tradition. But instead of David doing what tradition called to do, he dispels Mephibosheth's fears and says to him, "I just want to show you kindness. I don't want to harm you." He restores to Mephibosheth all of his grandfather's land and his inheritance that belonged to him. Mephibosheth had probably heard about his grandfather's land, but for him to go and claim his land would have made him known to the king and possibly put his life in danger. So not only does David restore Mephibosheth's inheritance, he also invites Mephibosheth to come and eat at the king's table. This went beyond giving Mephibosheth what was his. By David doing this, he was allowing Mephibosheth to come and to have a close relationship with the king. David didn't follow tradition, which would have seen Mephibosheth killed. Instead, he acted in kindness and grace towards him. Mephibosheth hadn't done anything to earn favor with David. This was something that came from the heart of David, born out of his love for Jonathan. Saul forfeited the kingdom through his disobedience and sin. None of his children and grandchildren would sit on the throne because of this. But David allows Mephibosheth into the king's house and treats him as one of his own. When we read this account between David and Mephibosheth, the parallels between God and us, I believe, are clear. David represents, I believe, Jesus, and Mephibosheth represents us and what God has done for us as believers. And I want to think about Mephibosheth for a while, just concentrate on him for a little bit, because he was a man destined to become a king that was now disabled. He was in a hopeless place, a hopeless situation, and I believe that every single one of us has been disabled. We may not be physically disabled, but we all have been disabled by the effects of sin. Some of us have been disabled in our spirit, some of us have been disabled in our emotions, some of us have been disabled in our mind, because somebody dropped us, somebody we depended on let us down, and as a result of their mistake, we have been disabled. It may have been a parent that failed you, or someone that wounded us, maybe it was a harsh word, or maybe in times when you needed that comfort or that love, it wasn't there and it's affected you as a person. Maybe it's your husband or your wife or a partner or a close friend. Maybe it was someone that you was relying on or depending on to be there for you, and they wasn't there for you. And instead of being there for you, they've hurt you and they've let you down, and that has scarred you and left a mark on you. And it's caused you to just not see yourself how God sees you. Mephibosheth's life had took a turn for the better. He was in the king's house, he was eating at the king's table, he had everything restored to him. But if I want us to read verse 13, it says, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table." But if we notice what comes after that, it says, "And he was lame in both feet." And I believe there is really a lesson for us in that. He'd been brought to the king's house. He'd been had honour put on him. He was treated like one of David's own. But he was still disabled. If you saw Mephibosheth sitting at the king's table, I'm sure he was happy and he was smiling and everything on the surface looked great. But if you was to look beneath the table, you would still see his disability. I believe what God has put on my heart tonight, and it's not an easy message, but I believe that this is something that God has put on my heart, and so I'm just going to ask God to help me to deliver this message, is that I believe there's many of us sitting here that are still spiritually disabled. There's many of us here that are sitting at the Lord's table, and on the surface everything looks great. We're smiling and we're happy. But if we were to just peep underneath that tablecloth, we probably find that there's a lot of us that are spiritually disabled. People have let us, maybe it's from people that have let us down, those that we've trusted. Maybe you're feeling disabled by someone that spoke harsh words to you. Maybe you're feeling disabled by emotional or physical abuse. Maybe you're feeling disabled by someone who was meant to love you. We're sitting at the Lord's table, but we're still disabled. And as I was preparing this sermon, I just felt a certain heaviness on my heart. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of feeling disabled. And I don't mean physically in my body. I mean spiritually and emotionally and sometimes in my mind. Because I think if all of us are honest, we can really put on a show that everything is all right, but really underneath we're hurting. And I'm tired because I know what God's word says about us, and I want to read Isaiah 61, and it says, "The spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies, to all who mourn in Israel. He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of despair, joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. I know for myself when I read that God wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to be captives anymore. And being set free is a painful journey, but it's a necessary one so that we can walk in the freedom that Christ came to give us. And Mephibosheth answered David's call, and he must have felt fearful. He must have felt anxious. There was a possibility that he could lose his life. But he stepped out in faith. He could have refused the blessings that David offered him because of the way that he viewed himself. He could have refused to eat at the king's table because he didn't feel worthy to. And so I want to ask you this evening, will you respond to Christ's call? Will you answer him like Mephibosheth answered David's call? And Jesus is here with us now, and he's able to restore us. He's able to renew us, and he's able to help us with what is disabling us. He's able to go under the surface where no one else can see and put right in us what nobody else can. But we need to step out and we need to trust him. I believe he's saying to us today that you are no longer dead dogs, but the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Healing and restoration is ours. It's time to come into the fullness that the Lord has for us. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to work on those things in our lives and in our hearts that are crippling us? How will you respond to his call today?